Romans 15, verse by verse through Romans 15. Very important calling that we have. The Lord has called you to persevere with others and to encourage them in building them up. Now, he wants us dedicated to this. Now, coming into chapter 15 from 14, we've seen some of it. You're called to be patient with Christians who are weak in faith. Do you remember what weak in faith Christians are? Well, they're people that are tied to certain days, like the Sabbath day, and certain foods that they think that they need to keep concerning the old law. Paul calls them weak in faith, but he calls these particular weak in faith people Christians. Now, strong faith walks in freedom in Christ, and you want weak faith Christians to also realize the fullness of their freedom. That's what we want. So we need to be treating them with love as we try to be patient with them. They might have these kind of strange kinds of allegiance to these days and all these weird food restrictions. You might have known people like that. I know people like that. But what we're trying to do with them and everybody is do everything to build up. Always remember that, because that's where I'm going with this morning. It's where Paul goes. And building up others is going to be the theme animation that we always see as we flip through the pages of Scripture. I mean, it's like those little books where you can flip the pages and you see a kind of an action movie in your hands. You know what I'm talking about? You flip the pages of Scripture and you see the call to build up others. This is your call as your new covenant way, as your way that's the way of Jesus. And it's here in Romans 15. And you're going to flip through it. And you're going to get to the Bible and you'll see things like 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So it has the same image there. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says plainly, it says this, encourage one another and build up one another. That's your calling. That's my calling. We're all in this together. All of us. We need to be thinking of each other this way. This is the way God thinks about us. So even when we have these kind of disagreements, like you might have a disagreement with me, you might have a disagreement with other people, your calling, my calling, our calling is to persevere and encourage everyone based on our common salvation. And 15:1-13 has more movement in this scene. God wants us to get this, look at it, view it for our instruction. So I'm going to read it at 15:1 right now. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. That's edification. That's the call right there. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we would have hope. This is encouragement and this is perseverance that God gives us. Now look at verse 5. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling the prophecies of Scripture. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. This is our calling. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, that would be the Jewish people, on behalf of the truth of God, to confirm the promises given to the fathers and for the non-Jews, Gentiles. Why? To glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. And here's Scripture, written from the ancient past for our edification. Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Or I will give praise to you among the nations. Same meaning. Again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles. Rejoice, O nations, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you nations, you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. In verse 12, and again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. That's the Christmas right there. Christ Jesus coming. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Prepare your heart for this sermon, called to please others for their good. Let's pray. Lord, we want to heed this calling, recognize it, take it seriously, that we are called to please others for their good. I ask that you would minister the word through me, that I would speak rightly, and that it would come in, and that we would use what you give us for your glory. Use it, Father. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now, God wants you to recognize your calling. That's the utmost importance. And God wants you to see this calling to please others for their good as supremely important. He does not want us acting like we're unaware of this calling. Christians who don't tune in to God on this think persevering with others is only optional. Very bad. And what's going on is this type of thinking, this type of way that we can be, is out of tune. Out of tune. And so somebody who's out of tune doesn't make the highest effort to build others up. And so what do? They tear down based on their own opinions, based on their own preferences. Very easy to do. But God says your calling, our calling, is to please others for their good and seeking to build them up. And it's something that we need to strive to do in a purposeful, intentional manner. Purposeful. He wants you to do this eagerly and to the highest extreme. And the thing about God is that He stays in the picture of it all at every single step. He's not just leaving you alone to do it, okay? He's telling you what to do. He's got the scriptures, right? We've got those. We're feeding off of them. Build up others. So now we know. And He's there. That's Him talking. But He also wants you to follow Him. Now this is so interesting. This is really amazing. He wants us to follow Him as the example. As your example. Now, there are times that you're not going to want to persevere with certain people. Well, God sticks with them. And He wants you to stick with them the same way. There are times that you're not going to want to encourage them. Well, God's the example. He says what to do. He shows what to do with your own lack of want. And you say, well, what's that? Well, God is patient with you. Patient with all of us to the extreme. He's the example. He consistently applies His love, consistently, and His grace, I like to call it real grace, in encouraging you, encouraging us in our weaknesses, in our foolishness, and in our sinful ways, in our selfishness. God is your example of pleasing us for our good. God is your example of building us up. And doesn't God go to the extreme to love you? I mean, are you not in awe? I am in awe of how conscious, you know, you are of your selfish failures. And He loves you through it all. He perseveres in His grace with you. And you're certainly very thankful that He goes to the highest degree to persevere with you. Your Father has the family trait, and He wants us to manifest it. He chooses to do these things. We have to choose to do these things. We have the attribute. We have the Holy Spirit, the power of Christ. And God chooses to shower you with grace, mercy, and love all the time. And He chooses to be joyous concerning you. He chooses to please you. He does it purposefully. So when Paul said, bear the weakness of those without strength, well, God's in that with you. God even puts the people in your life. The people He wants you to please. He makes sure you know who they are. And so when you encounter these people, you encounter the providential people that God brings into your life, like this morning. It's no accident that we've come together here, that you're here. God has a providential hand in everything. What He wants is you to look to Him to learn how not to tear down. See, we got to start renewing our minds with the mind of Christ. He's the example. Pleasing them is easy. He's made sure that it's easy for us to remember. Paul said, for even Christ did not please Himself. So you're called to look at Jesus and you're called to say, well, that kind of pursuit, well, that's what I need to do. And that's how I'm going to be. And when you look at the details of Jesus and His pursuit, well, look at what He went through. Being rejected, went to the cross. He willingly did it to save us from our sinful wretchedness. And that's an amazing example, but it should blow you away to know the magnitude, because Jesus did this while being the only sinless one, the only perfect one. He's the one that deserves the ultimate glory, and He does get it through us. But the Lord's plan was to have the insults of those who insulted God fall on His sinlessly perfect self. That's amazing. That's the extent Christ went to in not pleasing His own perfect self. He went through the punishment you deserve to please you for your good. Now you exist in the ultimate pleasure, in the ultimate building up forever and ever and ever and ever. But it took extreme action. And God did it. Took a lot to get you there. And so your calling, my calling, is to this kind of extreme love that God patterns for us. Get your extreme love example from Christ Jesus. So when Paul says here, be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, well, you know what he means. You know you got to go to the extreme levels to get there. So right now, understand, your calling is nothing less than to extreme levels. That's the way it is. This is why other Christians are not your example on this. Now, role models are great, and God has called all of us to demonstrate the life of Christ to each other. But Jesus is your example because he is the perfect way that the extreme is demonstrated better than anyone. And that's what we need to be looking at. And what does it say to do here that eventually means going to the extreme? It says, accept one another just as. You see that? Just as Christ also accepted you. Now do you understand the extremeness of this calling? When you see Christ as the standard of how to accept others, now listen to me. You know you got to accept others, right? Are you doing it? But when you see him as the standard, which is that he accepted you, the sinner worthy of death, and now in your salvation, he accepts you in your faults and your failures, what you're faced with is the serious reality of your call. You know that no matter how weird that fellow Christian is, no matter what odd belief baggage we think they carry with them, and everyone has some weird belief baggage. That was chapter 14 that Paul was talking about, people with weird belief baggage. But we all have something. Just have to probe long enough to figure out what it is. No matter how irritating we think their personality is, and we do get irritated by certain people, don't we? What you know is that you must accept them in the Jesus way. Not your way. Not the way your family may have taught you to do it, or your neighbors do it, or the way they treat you. Because you know everybody wants payback. That's not it. It's the Jesus way. And what is he? He is the extreme. And the way is the same way he accepts you. He accepts you extremely. And so when he said, love one another as I, Jesus, love you, that was his great command. He was not exaggerating on the extreme of this demand. He meant it's really what you're supposed to do. He made himself the standard for how to express love. And he's telling you that you know the way to go with this calling. So, but what else do you see? You also see, when you're looking to him as the example, the standard, is you see areas in your life that you're failing to do this. And so your calling to success has to do with looking at what you're doing, how you are, where you're going, and you're comparing it to him. He's the standard for making adjustments. Are you consistently being an encouragement the way Christ loves you? Well, if not, become extreme. And listen, extreme just makes you consistent. You follow what I'm saying? It just makes you consistent. And what else does it say about the example of Jesus? It says Christ became a servant. And see, that's Jesus loving his way. He's the example. And in your calling, there is servanthood. You are called by God to servanthood. Serving is the only way that you're going to ever have this extreme love that you're going to put into action. And what does servanthood require when it comes to self? I must diminish. Right? You must diminish. And who is our role model on that? Jesus. Think about him. He diminished himself to the extreme. Your calling requires extreme diminishment of yourself. And the Lord reminds me this all the time. And you know when he reminds, we know it, but you know what, when he reminds us? At that moment that we're wrestling with whether we really want to diminish ourselves that much. And that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. We have the Word. He's always with us. He's given us example. So it's all about him talking to us in our calling. And so we're looking at encouraging and loving and serving and building up to the extreme. And we've got that animation that's giving us a tutorial as we flip through the Bible. And so you see that Paul had the same team of horses on his wagon when he wrote the call in Philippians 2, 1 through 8. It says, be an encourager. But Paul called it your encouragement in Christ. And this is where I'm getting with this example, the extreme. Be a consoler from his love. Keep fellowship strong, he says, pure, continuing from the Holy Spirit. It's him. See, you're being like him. Paul says, maintain the same love. Well, your call requires extreme maintenance. And if love starts to stray or grow dim, get it back on the right path. It takes extreme maintenance to keep united. He says, be united. So if you're doing things from selfishness or empty pride, you're being selfish. You have empty pride that's in you. If you see yourself doing that, you have a barometer to look at. And what you see is that you're not looking to Jesus for your guidance on that matter. You're not focusing in on it and submitting as the servanthood. And what you're doing is you're forgetting your call. And the remedy to this is looking at the barometer is you get back to the extreme. And so with humble thinking, regard others as more important than yourself. Well, that is extreme, and now you're back on track. That's the extreme example that the Lord demonstrates, and that's your call. All that's in Philippians. And really, it's a magnification of what we get in Romans here. So ask yourself the easy question. Just ask yourself the easy question first. Am I looking out for the interest of people around here? Well, that's what you're told to do. But you're not done. You know, ask yourself the principle of progress. Am I going to the extreme to look out for the interest of others and not just my own personal interest? Am I bearing the weaknesses of those without strength? Or am I just pleasing myself? Am I really trying to please others for their good, to build them up? Am I trying to copy Jesus' way as my model? It's extreme, but it has to be. It really does. Empty yourself and take the form of a bondservant like he did. The Jesus example is extreme, humble self-diminishment that others have a very hard time understanding. It is not natural. It is supernatural. So when you look down from a high altitude view, you're looking down at what you see of your own life. Are you seeing yourself being a bondservant to others? Well, that's what you're going to want to see, and that's what you will see if you go beyond the normal. And so what I'm calling the extreme way, it's the way that stays persevering with others and keeps on encouraging them, pleasing them for their good, no matter what. That's extreme. And so as I've been going through all of this, I want you to think about this. God's word has been central. And I get this from God's word that it's supposed to be central. And that's why I make it that way. And this is what Paul taught. And then he also speaks here of God giving you peace and joy in your life that's overflowing and abounding in hope by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit always works in conjunction with God's word. Always. This is why God's word needs to be central in your life. God's word gives you the hope, the joy, the peace, and your calling. We stand on God's word. I'm preaching God's word this morning. Why do I preach verse by verse? Because I want God's word to be central. I want it to be what we take in and feed upon and we live. And see, it was all written for your instruction, as Paul says, so that through its encouragement, you're going to have hope. And so this is why the Bible is one of the greatest, greatest treasures that you have. God gave you the scriptures as a gift to build you up. And in your calling, this is what we're supposed to do. Use his word to build up others. Okay? To impart hope to them. So be trying to make it your regular practice to refer to the scriptures. It's okay to quote scriptures. There is like a lot of people that act like it's not an okay thing for a Christian to quote scriptures to other people. Why? Why not? That's what you're supposed to do. That is not a bad thing. It's a super good thing. It's what Jesus did and Paul did. It's what the example is. Use God's scriptures to show that God's promises are confirmed. And always go to them first when it comes to life instructions and life decisions and actions. It's what they're written for. And it shows that God is going to the extreme to love you, the extreme to persevere with you, and show that he is joyous concerning you. And take his example and run with it to please others for their good and seeking to build them up also. Now, this gets me to another important area in your calling. You do have a calling. This is it. Please others and encourage them with the confidence of knowing that you are fulfilling prophecy. You do know you're fulfilling prophecy, right? You see, our faith gets attacked by Bible critics and those who try to alter history all the time. But we have people in Christianity who are called Christian apologists, and all that means an apologist is one who defends the faith. And what they do is they always show that nothing can stand against the Scriptures. There's no Bible misunderstanding that theologians don't show is only a misunderstanding. It's only a baseless attack of confusion. It's based on confusion and it's just twisting. Very encouraging to know that we have God's sure word. And there are other encouraging things like your own salvation and the salvation of those around you. That's encouraging. Now listen, it's amazing to know that in the ancient past, our salvation was prophesied, your salvation specifically, prophesied to happen in the Scriptures. So the very Scriptures written for your instruction also have you in them. You are in Scripture. You know, Revelation says your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life since before the foundation of the world. And there's other ancient prophetic Scriptures. They have you in them. And this should encourage you. This should build you up. Well, in your calling, God wants you to share these same blessings with others. Scripture says people from all ethnic backgrounds were prophesied to be saved, to become one holy race in Christ Jesus. So all these different backgrounds, all these different races become one holy nation, race, ethnos in Christ Jesus. And the people of this holy race were prophesied to glorify God. And those prophecies have fulfillment in all of us in Christ, Christ in us, today. We confirm the truth of the promises. You confirm them. You are one of those people in the prophecy created to glorify God, to praise Him, to worship Him. The Christians around you are too. Now, you have joy in this, right? You have joy about being part of God's promise. And so what is your joy doing to God? It's glorifying Him. And when you encourage others with the confirmed promise, God gets glorified by your call to them. Now, Paul quoted the ancient prophecy, 2 Samuel 22, Psalm 18, in this passage. And they speak of you, of us, giving praise to God and seeking to His name. That's what we did this morning with the music together. That's what we do as living worship. And so you were personally meant to be this. And so you are, because you're a fulfillment of prophecy. Now think about this. People come to God through the proclamation of the gospel. You know, somebody shares the word. People get it, they hear it, they read it. They're urged to believe Christ died for their sins, rose from the dead, believe that He forgave them of their sins. By grace through faith we are saved. You know, and when they receive and believe, they are spiritually saved. And so what are they doing? They are doing this based on what they've heard. Okay, so here's what I'm getting at. Think about the proclamation. Think about sharing the gospel. Think about the proclamation. It's more than sharing facts. Proclaiming the gospel is also praise to God. Okay? So anytime you proclaim the gospel, you're proclaiming God's glory, which means you're praising and you're worshiping Him. You know, some people think, well, all I'm trying to do is see this person get saved. Okay, I know you have a burden. You want to see them saved. You're praising and you're worshiping as you share the gospel. So if they don't get saved, you know what you did? You praise and you worship the Lord. And anytime you praise Him, you're living in that moment, fulfilling what God ordained for the ancient prophecies. All of these that Paul lists. And once again, you are fulfilling prophecy. People come to God through our praise and our worship of Him. And then what happens? Well, they're fulfilling the prophecies too. And so God has all of us Christians praising God together as living worship. This is why Paul quoted Deuteronomy 32 and Psalm 117 also. People praising Him. He also quoted Isaiah 11:10. He quotes a lot of Old Testament passages here in chapter 15. Jesus was prophesied to be the Lord of Israelites and non-Israelites. Well, Paul quoted all these prophecies to confirm what we find our joy, perseverance, and encouragement in. They foretold God's plan and His work in saving us. You are what those prophecies are talking about. You are it. And all of this that we should be doing is taking and building up one another. That's what we need to be doing with it. And who is working in this? God. And so He fills you with all joy and peace in your beliefs so that you're going to abound in hope by the power, it says, of the Holy Spirit. Follow God's example. Take hold of your calling to bring joy and peace to others so that they will abound in hope too. Fulfill prophecy. Show them that they're fulfilling prophecy. And then finally, I want to get to this. If you're going to bring joy to others in your calling, this is so important. God wants you to find joy in doing it. I mean, God wants you to seek to get joy in pleasing the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters. So what am I meaning by this? Well, servanthood has a duty sound to it, right? Well, this calling is more than duty. Human nature is such a good actor that you can bear the weaknesses of others and still be doing it with lack of joy. But God wants the joy to be there. And I know for me, I find it to be so natural to please myself. It's so natural that I don't even really think about it very much. I find joy in that, pleasing myself. Just a natural part of my life. People don't naturally try not to please themselves. There's nothing wrong with having joy in pleasing yourself, but here's what God's saying. Start finding joyful fulfillment in pleasing others for their good. Start being pleased with being a pleaser. You know, I think it's interesting that there are people who have such a knack for making things grow that they're said to have a green thumb. And we could say, you know, the ability to please others for their good is to have a golden thumb. And the idea is that it should be joyfully pleasing to see that everything you touch grows in perseverance. Everything you touch thrives in encouragement. Everything you touch is built up. But this kind of gold thumb doesn't work if you're like a desert island unto yourself. Be familiar with the members of the body of Christ. Get to know people. You know what they think. Know what's going on with them. You know, people are Christians. Are the most valuable things to God. People. We are what He's made in His own image. We are what He sent His Son to purchase with the highest price imaginable. His own perfect sinless self. Dying on a cross. Valuable. Get to know what they think. Know what's going on with them. You know what's going on with this person. Find out what they need. You know, the green thumb miracle worker knows what different plants need. Each needs a different kind of lighting. A different kind of soil, temperature, amounts of water. Everybody is different. Use what you find out about people to seek ways to please them for their good. Now, years ago, some researchers wanted to find out why certain talk show hosts were so good at what they do. And they found that the main commonality among the best was this. Those hosts asked a lot of questions and they asked them with interest. They listened to the answers with interest, like they were truly engaged with what the person was saying. You know, I really care about you and about what you're saying. And so part of your golden touch, your call, is to show interest. Ask questions. Engage with what is in their heart. Look for needs, fears, desires. Look for it extremely. See? Try to find out what it is that you can do to please that person for their good. Try to find out what's tearing that person down. So many people are hurting all around us, and they're hurting so badly. And you know what they're doing? They have a smile pasted on their face. You got to engage. You got to go past the smile. Find out what's going on. It takes extremeness in the calling. And find your joy in seeking to help work through it. Build them up based on what you find out. Do it with joy. And when you engage with interest, you're going to start to recognize the weaknesses in people who seem very, very strong. You're going to start to discern, you know, everything from the outside may come across as unbroken and super stable and like they're in need of nothing. But when you get to know them and you engage in knowing them, you start to see the needs. I've been told over and over by Laura, my wife, that this is what happens with the women's group. They get into each other's lives and they get to know each other. This happens with us at men's group. That's where you start to see needs. You get engaged. You show real interest. And now you have something to work with to go to the extreme to fulfill your call, to please others for their good. Amen? Now, in a nutshell, we all have a high calling. The calling is to please others for their good and seeking to build them up. Look at it as being super important. So important that you should be going to the extreme to fulfill it. And remember the pattern person, God, Jesus. And so now you know what extreme is. And as you please others and as you encourage them, know we're all fulfilling prophecy. Let's seek to do this with joy, okay?